Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. 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 The Foundation. Foundation. Found the Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation of Hard Currents is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, the Digital Transformation Unit, and Marco's Pizza.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
That's rocking the nation. Howard Grant's the host, Guardian Radio Station 96.9. 12 to 2 is the time. You can call the show or use the text line. Yeah, he educates, he informs. He goes against the norm. He's really got that zeal. Plus, he's a child of God.
Foundation. Good omen. This is 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant. Live in full effect. So happy to be in your company today. 96.9 FM Radio. Howard with the Foundation. Listen, man, it's a beautiful, absolutely gorgeous Wednesday afternoon. So happy to be in your company. You know, we always do sort of a panel discussion on Wednesday. I'm hoping that it's becoming a part of your routine, your expectation, and just being able to know exactly what we're doing. And sometimes it goes contrary to the conversation that we have basis for the week, but always pertinent conversation in terms of being able to release something into the atmosphere and say, this is the path that we're taking. Guys, make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. It's a dollar wherever you are. Make sure you do that. You can be able to see today on Wednesday, May 17th, 2023. Happy birthday. Before I go further, happy birthday to my niece, Vicky, my brother's daughter. She celebrated a birthday. Happy birthday, Vicky. I pray that God continues to be able to, her name is Victory. Happy birthday to her. I pray that she continues to be able to expand and move from glory to glory. My baby doll, she tell me she want to, oh, I like this. She tell my wife, oh, I like this chain. I want one of these. She need to stop it, right? It's a beautiful day, ladies and gentlemen. If you're celebrating your birthday, I want to be able to say that to you also. Happy birthday. And I pray that you continue to move in the direction that you're called to move in. I say continue, because sometimes you're going contrary. Talk to me. But I got to let you know that this is the course that we were called to be on, and encourage you to make the right moves in that particular direction. Well, in the papers today, you can be able to see Grand Campus, which is a wild thing, groundbroken for $210 million facility. The Davis administration broke ground a $210 million Freeport Health campus yesterday. Said the facility will be built on East Sunrise Highway and will be comprised of the state-of-the-art outpatient and urgent care facilities, an oncology center, and preventative medical services. The Prime Minister Davis said that the facility will cater to the needs of Grand Bahamians and the Northern Bahamas residents for generations to come. This is what we like to hear. Talk to me. This is always great stuff that we can be able to see that exactly was what. Also, the Prime Minister's in the paper and says that the citizenship matter, and the citizenship matter, we must ensure daddy is the daddy, right? You know, because sometimes your daddy is your daddy, but your daddy don't know, right? Sometimes your daddy ain't your daddy. So we got to find out those particular things and have good conversations about how we're going to move in those particular directions. Says the Minister for Works is in the paper also talking about the shantytown demolitions coming up and a man on bail for murder arrested in connection with the recent sexual assaults. I want to touch this. Also, you can see Bella's mother not remorseful. This is what the court is told, right? But I want to touch this. This man on bail for murder arrested in connection with recent sexual assaults. Today, we have a friend of the show. She sat with me several times since we came on this particular platform in this space and capacity here at the foundation. And I've always been kind of diving into the nuances and some of the subconscious things that continue to linger that we don't necessarily weren't able to articulate or put a finger on. She's been able to do that so well. She's been working with young men. She's been working with a great deal of persons in terms of rehabilitation and kind of regrouping them and getting them prepared to be able to move formally as a part of society. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you and reintroduce you, if you don't know exactly who she is, to none other than Kendra Bo. Kendra, so good to be here with you today. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much. Thank you for that warm welcome, Howard. And good morning, Bahamas. It's great to be here.
Always a wonderful thing to be able to have you. Now, today, I thought it was important to be able to highlight this. There is a discussion that's happening socially on social media and other platforms that talks about sexual assaults and those persons who feel the deviance associated with pursuing these things and how it could possibly be a mental health challenge. Today, we're going to talk more specifically about mental health and talk about the variations thereof. I'd like you to be able to give sort of an outline and a history to these particular things and let persons know what the expectations of the conversations are as we move forward today. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you so much again, Howard. So, so I have served as a counselor, say about 15 years now. Been trained in various different forms of therapy, studied psychology. So it's something that I've always been interested in. And then as I continued my work with the at-risk population, it was realizing that this is an area that you have to constantly continue to be trained in and fine-tune and, you know, discover best practices in order to continue to help those in our families, those in our communities. And you know, just dealing with young people and then, you know, transitioning on to dealing with parents in conjunction with young people. I think we just don't pay a whole lot of attention to mental health and how it impacts some of the behavior that we see today, some of the crime that we see today, and, you know, just some of the things that we need to do and how we need to evolve as a community and as a nation in addressing issues that we face as time goes by.
One of the issues that, I only could give the Bahamas from my perspective. I've been here for 40 some years now, and I could remember a time where this was unfortunate, but it wasn't an irregular thing. We recognize this. And for a lot of persons who now we, based upon political correctness and based in terms of being able to formalize and be proper in our approach, one time ago it would have been able to be identified as, this one just retarded. Just retarded. And this is the sort of the language that we use. Now we say, okay, this one's on the spectrum. This one may be autistic. This one's this. This one's that. And trying to really be able to define those things. Now, this has always been with us.
Yes.
Now, do you believe that as a result of technology and being able to really deduce and identify the strategic issues within persons that we have sort of an appreciation and we could be able to speak to it in a particular manner?
Yes, I do think that technology definitely helps with that. But I also think that with technology today and the distractions of social media and all of the like, it also helps to increase it as well, because it's easier for a person, I feel, to move in terms of withdrawn and secluded from others because we say, oh, they just on the video game. Oh, they just on social media. And sometimes we can miss some of the warning signs that tells us, okay, something is going on. There's something that we need to address, that there's a shift in the behavior. So I think it's a double-edged sword, as it were, in terms of it. But I do think that we are in a day and time where it has been also overlooked. Because, especially when it comes to crime and violence, I think a lot of people just, lock them up, throw away the conditions that someone is in. But all of this affects the mental state of an individual. And then what we have to think about is that when people are reintroduced into society and they re-enter society, then how are they going to impact those who are in society who thought that, oh, once they were locked away, it wasn't a problem, but there wasn't much done in terms of assessing them in terms of mental health and providing the services that they may have needed. It was good to hear Minister Wayne Monroe talk about the new facility that is supposed to be coming on stream for Bahamas Department of Corrections and how there will be a mental health facility within the confines of the Department of Corrections as well.
And do you think we're making significant, because I want to know, I want to be able to get to the core of this. I want to talk about the forms of mental health. I know that they talk about bipolar disorder. They talk about body dysmorphic disorder. They talk about this kind of a borderline personality disorder, depression. They talk about this kind of disassociation. And, these things that they talk about, eating problems, hearing voices, hoarding, all these things like that. We just figure you was crazy at one point. Talk to me. And I want to know.
So
I want the variation of it, because guys, we're dealing with this today. And if May is the month that we can be able to identify mental health awareness, I think we need to know how do we identify those things. And if this is the case, diagnosed within our society, because if you could give me these surface, meanings, it could possibly mean that a lot of persons find themselves within this category. Talk to me about it.
Yes. So what I would say, Howard, is when it comes to diagnosis, however, that would be in terms of those with a doctor level, in terms of them assessing on that level to diagnose. Because that's one of the things that you would find is that there is assessment we can make, but when it comes to an actual diagnosis, that's something you want a doctor to do. But one of the things that I want to do in terms of mental health awareness and today and to really use the platform for is to really raise awareness on things that people can do to better help their mental health, to better de-stress, and to better avoid some mental health pitfalls that ends up happening in terms of with us. When we look at persons, and just as you described the various areas that later on persons may have been diagnosed as bipolar, schizophrenia, as having the other one is right on the tip of my head, but it'll come back to me. Eating disorders and all of this. When we look at these different things, they all stem from somewhere, and there was something that triggered it. Now, we do know that there are some things in terms of genetics, and genetic plays a role and a factor in it. But there are things, in my experience, what I found most of the time, persons who have been suspended, expelled, and whatnot, and certain behaviors they were displaying, that there was a root cause behind the behavior, and there was something that was triggering it. And unfortunately, if persons don't find someone who they can trust to confide into and then begin to talk about and receive counseling and receive therapy for what they're experiencing, these things then become bottled up on the inside, and then it affects the brain. And in it affecting the brain, it can cause a chemical imbalance that then leads to some of the strange behavior that we look at and we say, oh, that person crazy or something of that nature.
I tell you, I always like to sit down with you. I really do. Because I don't know whether or not it's the rhythm in your voice or whether or not the tone. But truly, you cause it to be sort of a nostalgic thing as you talk, which you're saying. You're taking me back to my childhood. And I could remember as a child with my father, I would talk to him about one issue. Let's say I was crying or I had an issue as a very small child. Let's be very clear, right? 5, 6, 7 years old. And subconsciously, because I watch it with my kids now, subconsciously I believe that to get my way, if I present this particular emotion, I can get some things done.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't work with my father. And, it definitely don't work with me. Let my son them know, right? So he would say to me, boy, cut that foolishness out, right? You got to let some things go. You got to just let that go and move forward. No matter what the issue was, no matter the trauma associated with that, the answer was always let it go and move forward. And as I grow, I try to figure out what has he let go and tried to move forward that he continues to be able to wrestle with in the quiet of the night, in the quiet of the evenings, right? Yes. Now, he can talk to me about this because, you know, I am man.
Yeah.
Like Tim Allen. Right? So he's not going to talk about these things. And we see that this generation, as we evolve, as we blossom into ourselves and move forward into the future, we are, you know, more liberal and more vulnerable in having these conversations, mm-hmm. but still broken. Let's just be very clear.
Yes.
Still broken. I won't talk about this kind of an idea that traveled with us for such a long time. This PTSD that you're talking mm-hmm. about, this, mm-hmm. this kind of an idea that says for a very long time, that because you talk about that this may be, you know, normal. Well, first and foremost, what is normal, right? The root cause of these particular things and whether or not this is hereditary and so forth and so on. Do you find outside of a traumatic blow that causes you to be able to be, you know, dysmorphed and so forth and so on, do you find persons who present with mental health issues is as a result of trauma, mental trauma, that has been presented from yesteryear, PTSD of sorts?
Yes, definitely. Definitely have seen that. I've seen that also. You read one of the headlines that was talking about a man who was released, I think, and committed...
a man on bail for murder arrested in connection with recent sexual assault.
Sexual assault.
Right, yeah.
And so dealing with persons even in terms of sexual assault, and you would find that sometimes the pain of the incident that they've not been able to really reconcile within themselves and let go presents itself in different symptoms. Some people end up with seizures. Some people... just distrusting of people.
And this is clinically proven.
Clinically proven.
Yeah.
Because of the trauma that they've experienced. And what happens is that we underestimate, I find that one of the best forms of therapy is talk therapy. And we underestimate the value of it. I had a man call me earlier this year, and he experienced sexual assault as a young man. And he's now past his 60s, and it was still bothering him.
He never talked about it?
No, never talked about it. And he called me, and he spoke with me for about 2 hours, just going through his experience. And he was feeling suicidal, and someone would be like,
yes.
Someone would look at him and think, no, not this person. You know, by our standards as well, doing well, has family, all of these different things.
Decent.
All the measures of success that we would look at. But yet, internally, was struggling with something. And then the shame of the experience is what was holding that person back. And they didn't find someone that they felt like they really could trust to confide in, to talk about, this is what happened to me. This is how it happened. This was the person who did it to me. And I want people to know that you need to be careful of, you know, leaving your children in terms of with strangers or thinking you can just trust someone because they have a respectable position and so forth. Because when he shared his story, the person who did what they did to him actually was a teacher. And
60 years ago.
60 years ago.
That's bananas.
And struggling with suicidal thoughts.
Wow.
This year as a result of that. And so again, the talk therapy people underestimate because this thing plays on you like over and over again. It's like it's repeated in your subconscious. So when people experience trauma and they really don't take the time to find a therapist because people just think automatically the word therapist, you crazy, you know? Oh, you who are you going to go talk to?
It's cultural, though.
You know, I know it's culture and they think of it, but people don't recognize how important it is. Even if you don't find a therapist or go to a therapist, if you have a friend that you feel that you can get out and get off your chest, things that have happened to you and things that are affecting you, things that are, you know, affecting your sleep because these thoughts keep, you know, repeating itself in your mind, talk therapy is one of the biggest ways in order for you to release some of the negative energy associated to the trauma that you may have been experiencing.
I got to find me someone who could do some talk therapy with often people who are very close to me, they realize that I'm a blabbermouth,
right? They I don't shut up. My wife actually knows this, and as I try to use her for talk therapy, she just wants me to shut up also. So I just need you to know that you got to be a right person to have talk therapy with.
Yes, but no,
there's a lot on your chest. Sometimes.
No, but I'm telling you, and you know what? You can have different friends that you discuss different things with. So, you know, okay, well, I can't take this to this friend because that person just will judge me, right? Because what you want is you want a safe space that whatever it is that you are sharing, the person is not judging you or condemning you based on what they're hearing.
You know, I watched something most recently. I'm big on the, you know, documentaries and self-help and just trying to be able to find out more things, not just for content for the show, but most definitely for me to be able to really enrich myself with information as I move forward. And I forget the gentleman's name because this is a quick, you know, tick. And he says that there are three tiers to a human being, his life. He said that there is public life, there is your private life, and then there's this secret life. The public life is this sort of an idea that you project, that you want everyone to see. So this is the formality. This is who I am. This is what I want you to believe of me. I'm a good, decent person, so forth and so on. The private life is what you open up to with the persons that you've allowed in your inner circle, right? So this kind of an idea. He gave the example. He says, publicly, you wouldn't know that my feet stink. This is what he says. Mm-hmm. He says, publicly, you wouldn't know my feet stink. He said, but privately, my wife knows
right. These
particular things. Mm-hmm. And then he starts to talk about a secret life.
Right.
And so as I talk to my wife about this, she says, but secrets can no longer live in your head. Mm-hmm. As soon as you act on these things that continue to linger in your head, then it becomes your private life. And someone will know about this eventually. So I'd like to talk about those things because I like how you talk about this kind of an idea about talk therapy.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, and it's so important. Even
you structured it good. You didn't say therapist. You didn't say, psychologists or any one of these particular persons who are going through these things. Talk therapy.
Yeah, talk therapy. Just finding ways and people who you can. Now, of course, for some people, based on maybe their family dynamics, not being able to find someone they can trust, or just simply you need that professional guidance to help you navigate what you're dealing with. I 100% agree with you needing to find, you know, maybe a licensed therapist, psychologist, and so forth. But what I want to let the wider population know is that if you can just find people who you can talk to when you are going through things, when you are experiencing things, it's going to be better for your mental health. There's a book, Who Switched Off My Brain, by Carolyn Leaf, and she talks about how in the brain, when we don't release negative emotions, it creates dark, she calls it branches, dark branches on the brain. Which means the brain is affected not only by, you know, things we may intake and what may happen to us, but the brain is also impacted by things we don't release. Mm-hmm. So there is a need for you to release when you've gone through hurt and pain and, you know, trauma of any kind, finding that way to be able to release it. I went to speak to a group of young boys just recently, and one of the ladies there was one of the wardens, and she's like, I need to talk to you. And she just went on about something that was impacting her. She just pulled me right on the side, something that just happened in her personal life.
You know, I like to do this on the show. I like to be a little bit more vulnerable to let people know, to give life to some of the conversations that we're having. Mm-hmm. And so I'll say this to you. When I was straight into my adulthood, I would see things in the evening, in the night. I was scared to sleep. I was what we would call a hag for a very long time, right? Very long time. I was scared to the point where I couldn't sleep by myself. I would wake up numb because I wouldn't move in the bed in the night for the whole thing. My brother knew. Sometimes I would jump into bed with my brother. It's wild. He doesn't want me to say this. It's the truth. From when we were young, right? He's like 4 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. But I would try to tell my grandfather, you know, the older people who I just need someone to talk to as a child. How can I work myself? What am I doing? Right? And then they would tell me stories, biblical stories about Samuel and all these things like that. Mm-hmm. But they wouldn't be the person who say, well, do this, do that, do the other thing. And so I would find myself in the night just praying. This is really how I got my relationship with God. Can I say that to someone? I mean, this is just the truth.
Yes.
That's just what it is. I was so scared. I was petrified in the evenings. petrified to sleep. I couldn't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I would see what I assumed to be demons walking into my room, beat me up. I couldn't move all night. And this is what I call sleep paralysis.
Yes.
Right? You don't know these terms that you get older.
Yes, yes.
But no one in my childhood could help me with this. When I talked to my grandfather about it, he said, baby, don't talk like that. People can make you crazy. I think I'm crazy too.
Yes, yes.
I think I'm crazy too. What's going on?
Yes.
Because this don't happen to nobody.
Yes.
Because I would look around and listen to dreams and ideas for my family, and no one says this.
And I think in you saying that, I would like to also interject here and say, and this is also in terms of being able to balance that fine line between spiritual things and mental health in terms of the scientific, because there is that body of persons in the mental health arena who are not prone to believe in spirits and forces and these things affecting someone in that way that could contribute to the behaviors that they're seeing. But I'm a believer that it does exist and it is there. And I think that there's an account, even in scripture, when Jesus cast out evil spirits out of a man and they talked about him returning to his right mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can be impacted by demonic forces that can be affecting and influencing your behavior.
Put in my head is.
Yeah. That people would look at and say, oh, the person is crazy, but it can be the influence of demonic forces happening there. And also vice versa, I would want to say is that sometimes some people would look at situations, if you're coming from a spiritual background, and they would want to say, okay, yeah, demon, 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 spirit, 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 but there literally can be a mental situation going on where there is a mental impact for that person. Sometimes maybe they have to go on medication to bring a balance back to the brain, and then you see their behavior levels off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so again, this is where you would need to be guided in terms of when you know that you are at a state, because there are stages to this. Just like if we're sick in our bodies, there are certain things we can deal with ourselves. You can go to the pharmacy and get over-the-counter medication for certain things. And then there are certain things where you have to go and see a doctor, and then you need a prescription in order to get those forms of medication to help you. Mm-hmm. And then there are some natural health things that you can do, and you can get great results as well.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's being able to guide people that when you're looking at your life and you're assessing whatever it is that's going on, you look at the various aspects.
I like this. Yeah. I like this conversation that we're having about mental awareness. And one of the things that we're down, you know, some people, especially in this kind of a day and time, I see people making pronouncements over their lives that is wild to me. And only because I think I grew up in this sort of an era where superstition and religion has played a big part in my development, right? And so I'll never say I have ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that.
Right.
I see people making these pronouncements now.
Yes, yes.
But my grammy then wouldn't let me say something like that, right? It's almost like saying, boy, I can't learn. Right? Mm-hmm. Boy, don't you? Life and death is in the power of the tongue in Jesus' name. That's what your grandma would say, right? And so I'd like to know this kind of a fight in your faith. This kind of in this day and time, there are a great deal of, when I was taking my baby to the doctor, my wife was pregnant with my second son. And the doctor, we would go down there to the doctor, Dr. Carey, and he'd check us out. He said, okay, so you want me to check out? There is a test that he can do to check to see whether or not the baby will have Down syndrome.
Right.
Right? So I said, doctor, what do you mean? He said, well, this is going to cost about $1,000 an hour to see if the baby have Down syndrome.
Right.
I said, okay, so if the baby has Down syndrome.
Yes.
Then what can we do? He said, nothing. I said, what are we checking for? What are we testing for? He said, well, you know how to be prepared, so forth and so on. Right? And so you still make a determination. You have a chance to be able to identify these things and talk about that. When we come back, I want to talk about the difference between the diagnosis and even your faith. If persons still wrestle with that and stand to pronounce this certain position to move forward. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to take this quick commercial break and do that. 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, with none other than Kendra Bow today, being able to talk about mental health awareness. We're going to take the commercial break and be right back after this.
The foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
Make your morning sizzle with breakfast from Burger King Nassau. Enjoy not one, but two delicious sausage and cheese croissant sandwiches made just for you for only $5.75 including VAT. This breakfast classic is made with Burger King's savory sizzling sausage and melted American cheese on that classic buttery croissant you love. So say hello to sizzling mornings at Burger King with two sausage and cheese croissant sandwiches for only $5.75 including VAT. Only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you. You reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. 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 The foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company right here on this beautiful, absolutely gorgeous Wednesday. It's a panel discussion, but today we're talking more specifically about mental awareness. I'm joined in the studio with none other than Kendra Bo, being able to talk to us about these things and her expertise and the years of experience and sort of the patience in being able to endure these things and bring to us a path that we could be able to rectify these things for far too long. I think tolerance has taken over in our society. We have become tolerant. We've identified these things and we hold our mouth. But I don't know whether or not we have an appreciation for it. I don't know whether or not we accept those particular things. We just learn to be quiet about it. We've changed our language over time. We don't say midget no more. You remember midget, right? Mm-hmm, it's little person now,
yes,
right?
It's
so
little
person. This transition has happened significantly in our society, where we have changed our language, but have we changed our attitudes towards these things? That's what I want to know, right? Even with the diagnosis, even with being able to identify those things, have we changed our attitudes as it relates to being able to move forward? I want to also talk about before we went to the break, we talked about fighting the diagnosis with faith. Do people do that still? Because I see that there's more pronouncements being made socially about, you know, a position that they have or what I identify as a disease. Is it okay to fight it with faith? Is it okay to make these pronouncements? Talk to me about it.
I think definitely, because a positive faith is really about you building to view life or whatever situation you're going through in a positive manner. It's really about your belief. And so regardless of whatever the diagnosis is or may be, being positive about it is only going to benefit you. But as you direct your faith in terms of towards it, it's still the guidelines you take in utilizing your faith. One of the things I've been seeing in recent years is those in the healing ministry would still tell people, you know, you hold your faith, but you still take your medication. I've been hearing them question people in that way. I've seen it with Benny Hinn. I've seen it with a few of them even here, where they'd be like, continue to take your medication.
But this is a radical set.
Right?
The radical set. Have the snakes, the rattlesnakes in the church, getting bitten in church. Man, okay, yeah, I could show you the thing. I tell you, I watch these things. So these people gotta be crazy.
So I've seen one of those in terms of one of the African pastors, where you know one pastor actually admitted that his interpretation of the scripture in that regard that he was wrong on. So what he was believing in
after
the
mishap,
he realized that his interpretation of the scripture and that was wrong or was off. But the thing is, and I think that's again in terms of people being guided, because I think what has happened also is some people have seen where they held their faith, and whether the person still transitioned, things didn't work out the way people wanted, and sometimes it's affected their faith in God. But what I would like to say to people in terms of with your faith is, to me, it's maintaining that positive belief that healing will be made manifest whichever way God will bring it. Sometimes it can come immediate, I believe, through the laying on of hands. Sometimes it's a process. Sometimes it may come through operation. Sometimes it may come through the hands of a doctor. But I think it's just you releasing your faith in trusting God. I remember a personal incident in terms of when my son was younger and he had a breakout on his face. And we took him to one of the doctors here who's well known for skin issues. But the medication that was prescribed, he didn't get better. It actually got worse. And what I did is I turned down the plate for 3 days, and there was actually at the time there was a pastor who was in town, and when I took my son up and he went to pray for my son, he didn't anoint his head, he didn't anoint his hands, he told my son to stick out his tongue, and he anointed his tongue. Mm-hmm. And for the next several days, whatever it was that was in his body came out through his tongue, and he kept saying, "Mommy, my tongue," and that's how it came out. It dried right up. Mm-hmm. So I'm a believer in terms of in faith, but I think again there is a balance with it. And I know in recent times I've been hearing a lot of those with healing ministries still caution people to still continue with your medication even as you believe God to do that.
Science and this belief that for physical ailment or discomfort there should be a physical approach to in being able to ensure that we can rectify these particular things. There are some that of the belief that this is but a journey for us as men, as mere mortals, whether it's a Big Bang Theory, whether or not the Anunnaku came down and actually created us, I don't know, whatever these people think, right? There is an idea that there should be able to be a very clear separation between our science, medicine, and faith. A lot of persons, based upon what you would say just now, would identify this possibly as mental health issues that you may necessarily have, and believing that an unseen entity can be able to do these things. How do you now differentiate faith and mental disorder?
I just think that there's a soundness with it. I think for me, having sat under Dr. Miles Monroe and really soaking up a lot of the word and the knowledge, that I just feel like there is a soundness that comes with the word when you understand the principles of God. And then when you step into a realm where you are in need of a miracle, or in terms of from God, it requires you to open up to something higher and greater than yourself, because you know that you cannot do it in the natural. And so sometimes in those situations, it's like, what do you got to lose? I know, for example, Tasty Teas, that is off of Nassau Street, the lady who founded that with her son, she had stage 4 cancer. Doctors had given up on her. She prayed to God, and God directed her to the Leaves. And she used the Leaves, and she has been cancer-free ever since. Now, she coupled her healing with her faith and trust in God after doctors had already done everything they could. And she's now been cancer-free for years. And then it turned into a business where they're packaging our native plants and trees,
and all of it,
with letting guests know the medicinal value of it and what they can use it for. And it's one of the top touring sites right now in Nassau.
Mm-hmm.
That all of the tour guides and leisure, all they stopped there and let their guests off so that they could actually purchase these teas to take back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so again, you are able to use your faith and use even science coupled with your faith in order to see manifestations of miracles and great things happen. Mm-hmm. So it can happen, and it does happen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about mental health awareness today, and it's difficult culturally to be able to get into a conversation without being able to look back at or identify how we use degrading language. And it was just a part of who we were on a day-to-day basis. And so I want to know from you, as we go to this commercial break, are we making the incremental steps, significant steps, the strategic steps, to be able to reform our society as it relates to mental health awareness? I know that we've done a great deal in this country to be able to give recognition to global concerns and awareness. We've etched out a day here, a month here, done mm-hmm. this, whether it's breast cancer awareness, whether it's coolness, whether it's erectile function month. I don't know. Is there a month for that?
I don't know.
I know this is it's like we're doing all these things. It's like AIDS Day, AIDS awareness and so forth. Yes. And so we've done a lot of those things, but I want to know whether or not we're making incremental steps towards being able to identify and really rectify, to find a true sense of growth in these areas. Do you think we're maturing, or have, like I said at the beginning, has tolerance taking over, given us this position and posture where we just need to be socially correct? Talk to me before we be able to go to a break. 2 seconds. Do you think? Oh, you want to come back with that? Let's come back with that.
Okay.
Let me take this commercial break, guys. Guys, we're going to take a commercial break, get to news, and be back. I'm sitting in the studio with none other than Kendra Bowe, really being able to get into it today. I'm hoping that you enjoy the conversation. We'll be getting to the other side. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720, or you can hit me up on the text line, 422-4796. You're going to take this commercial break and be right back after this.
The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
Ready to step into the future? From your front door to the backyard and everywhere in between. See and speak to whoever's there with Ring Video doorbells and security cameras now available at Alive. Protect what matters most. All from one easy app, available in your Google or Apple Play Store. Visit bealive.com/ring to learn more. We are Alive.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The Foundation. Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. 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 The Foundation. foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. So happy to be in your company, being able to chop this thing down today. We're talking mental health awareness, but before we get into that, I want to be able to say happy birthday. Somebody texted me and said, hi, Howard. Hey, Howard, I'd like to say happy birthday to Shane Thompson, right? This is from his parents, Stephen and Rudia. So happy birthday to Shane. I hope all is well. I hope that you continue to be able to grow and expand and do the things that God has called you to do once you're here in the land of the living. This is Howard. Can I please get the lady's contact? Because I love a young adult. I'm sorry, I have a young adult that really needs help. And I'm not sure where to go for help. So I'll send the information. I'll send this person. I'll give you information. Okay? There's a nice text that comes through. It says, it is possible that many of the criminals who are being given bail should be held at some jail psychiatric facility instead of just being released into the public. Judges have to do better at the job of determining this. I don't think judges determine that in that particular instance. Now, I want to talk like this. You gave me an example. I don't know if you want to be able to share it like that. But you gave me an example of how people are very dismissive with persons who present themselves in a manner where we could consider them to be mentally challenged. And I'm going to go, I just touch this on this thing here also. To this particular point, is it possible that criminals who have been given bail should be held at some psychiatric facility? I'm going to talk like this because the truth is this. All of us are in this proverbial hole as a community, right? All of us, black and brown, are in this proverbial hole as a community. And the one constant in this hole that we exist in is occupation. You have to work. That's the one constant thing. That is the identified norm, okay? It is normal for you to be able to come out, you're out of school now, the normal thing to do is to get a job. That's just what it is. It's normal. It is abnormal if you're out of school, matured, and don't have a job. Something wrong with you. You're crazy. Naturally, you're crazy. You don't have a job? Well, what's going on with you? What do you do for money? You got to be crazy, right? And so they look at persons, whether or not they present, they're walking the streets, they're begging for money, and they always reject you simply because, not necessarily because you may have a mental disorder, but because you're not a part of normal society. I want you to touch that, and then we can get back to what we were talking about before we get. I want you to touch that as we go forward.
Yes, so, what I'd like to say, and I think what I would like to see us and how we grow as a society is that when you see persons displaying what would be deemed some kind of mental health, having some kind of mental health crisis, or displaying some symptoms that there is a mental health challenge, that people could be a little bit more compassionate towards people. There is a stigma still in our society when it comes to mental health, and we tend to still look at people and look down on people, and I think also have a fear of people and what people will do. I remember pulling up on KFC line, and so there's, there'd be some guys who would be there sometime. There's one, he'll have like a dirty rag in his hand, and he would just start cleaning the window, and he'd be carrying on at the same time, and people would just run him off or whatever have you. And so when he came to my car to wipe my glass, I said, okay, I said, I can get you something to eat. I said, what you want to eat? So he stopped for a minute because I guess he wasn't expecting that. But I said, what you want to eat? And he said, a two-piece. And he got sober real quick, meaning the behavior that we look at and we say, oh, this person crazy, they're not sound or whatever have you. When he saw I wasn't judging him on that behavior and I was treating him normal, and I said, what you want to eat? And he said, a two-piece. And he stopped carrying on around my car, and he went and he walked and he waited by the side until I already got the order, and he came and he got his two piece. And so what I'm saying is that we can just be a little bit more tolerant. We can be a little bit more compassionate with people. I think there is the tendency if like people aren't working, they're on the streets, we look and say, oh, look at this young man. Oh, he could work, or he could this, or he could that. But we really don't know the backstory of sometimes what led someone to that breaking point in terms of to get to where they are at. I remember mother came to when we had a center in the Oaksfield area, and he had gotten suspended from school, and she's like, oh, you want to do counseling, hey? She said, oh, you know, I need to bring him back for counseling. And she said, because, you know, he watches daddy and his brother get her headshot. And she said it like it was nothing. And you could just see this young boy, because he would have been a primary school or junior high school student at the time. And he's standing there, and you could see like there's just a confusion on him because he's trying to figure out what is going on in his life, in his world. But his mom was just so nonchalant about it. Like, what just happened? Like, this is just life.
Is there a deeper thing that we need to unravel here?
Yeah.
Is it because there is an identified, keep in mind, we live in a society where there had to been significant social agitation for disabled persons to be able to put a ramp out there. Let's just be very clear about this. Mm-hmm. This is the Bahamas that we live in.
Yes.
For years, there was social agitation. I'll never forget Erin being able to take on a position for a long time. When I was in Grand Bahama, I would hear her talking about disabilities and the importance of being able to have a ramp and accessibility for those persons who are disabled. And there were persons who used to take my uncle Van Leg Hepburn in Grand Bahama would take pictures of people just parking in handicapped spaces for a long time. There was this sheer disregard for anyone who had any disabilities, right? There was a very quiet subconscious conversation happening socially to say, well, we ain't got much of them in the country. Well, why do they have to have all the best spaces and so forth and so on? This is wild. Yes. Mm-hmm. This is the country we live in.
Yeah.
This is where we live, right? And in this country, when persons present with mental disorder, there needs to be more of an unraveling here, because the surface shows that there is inconsistencies in even how we approach it. But there may be a mental disorder publicly also with us.
Right.
For us not to identify that there's something wrong here.
There is something wrong. Yeah. And I would like, which is, you know, because there's a popular show dealing with young men that is out. And I know some people ascribe to it because they're like, oh, yeah, you know, show them this harshness and everything. And my issue with that particular show is the fact that I am unaware if they do it, because I have been a part of programs where they took that same initial approach where once the parent came and said, oh, this young man doing this and that, and this and that is happening, beat him, right? And you just take them and you automatically put the cane to them or whatever have you. And then when I got to sit and talk and I gained their trust and I began to hear these young men open up, cry inside my office, you see them rough, tough boys, and I see them break down and cry and all of it. And it's like, so if you never dealt with the psychological issues that this young man has gone through, the fact that he started using from he was 9 and he learned it from his dad first introduced it to him. So you're looking at his behavior, but his brain has already been impacted from taking drugs from 9 years old. So it's like you
a brain that wasn't even developed.
That wasn't even developed. So now you're looking at him and his behavior today and you're just saying, cane him, beat him, he rude, he disgusting, all these things.
You didn't listen.
But what caused it? I had another young man who, I remember when they was looking for someone who fit a particular profile or for a sexual assault incident that occurred, and I was asked, do men fit this description, this profile? And I thought, and I said, no, I said, I don't. And when they eventually caught the young man who had committed that act, I did know that young man. He was at our facility. I never would have suspected that he would have been the one to commit that particular crime. But what I came to learn is that he also had a history of abuse. So again, we say lock him up, throw away the key. You know, there's a complete disregard. You know, even when it comes to people and their sexual orientation, I had a young man who he was molested by his cousin at first, and then later on, he was molested by his uncle. So now when people see him, and he confided in me, and he said, Miss Bowie, I don't want to be like this. He said, I'm the only one in my family. And he confided how he felt, what he was feeling, what he was experiencing. So when he acts out in school because the teacher calls him a sissy, now everybody makes fun.
The teacher calls him?
These different things.
The teacher?
The teacher.
Yes, wow.
And so what I'm saying is we look at the children who are displaying symptoms, behaviors, attitudes that we're saying, this doesn't fit in with our norm. This doesn't fit in terms of what our society, but we don't look at the root causes. And we tend to go straight to punish them, put them in jail.
And then they quote the Bible and say,
you know, and all of this.
Bend the tree.
Right. And we don't look at the fact that there are some psychological issues that are at work. There are some things that has gone on with these young people that we need to address. And not just the young people, even the older people. And I may have shared it before on this platform, but even in terms of dealing with the men in prison, and one who was there for more than one count of rape. And when we held the session, he was like, hey, I was molested by my aunt. Mm. So when we don't address the issues that are affecting people psychologically and we go straight to punishment and we say, okay, lock them up and throw away the key and whatever have you, it's like, what are we really doing? We're not helping the situation. We're definitely not rehabilitating, and we're definitely not bringing healing. And when we stay silent on these issues, thinking like, okay, you stay silent because it's taboo and it's going to go away. It's not going to go away. It's going to fester, and it's going to result in other crimes and acts and different things happening and occurring. And then people are wondering, why is this happening? Why is this happening? You know, I want to throw out another point. There was a study done that shows how rejection affects the brain the same way as physical pain. So when you look at fathers who are rejecting their sons or rejecting their children, and people are then wondering,
this is heavy what you're saying.
You know, why is this young man so angry?
This is the,
you know,
this is the concept of a broken heart.
Yes. And so the scientific studies and evidence is there that rejects it. We can't see it with our naked eye when we look at a person and we say, oh, you know, if they have a bloody nose or eye or bruised eye or whatever, we could look and we could see, oh, this person has gone through some kind of physical assault. But we can't see it when it comes to the brain with our naked eye. But when they've been rejected by their fathers in particular, or family, that has the same impact on the brain.
I know.
And so when we're looking at our young men who are so angry, how are we addressing this issue of fatherlessness that's in our country? How are we addressing the issue in terms of over 70% of the births are single parents? And it isn't, this isn't single parents in terms of, okay, a woman who decided I want to have a baby by myself. This is single parents in the case of, in most instances, of a father who is not present, who's not active, who didn't want a child, or who's rejecting the child because he's not ready to take on the responsibility.
How do we help with this mental awareness. Guys, the lines are open. I want you to give me a call, please. I saw the line lit up and then it gone down. 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family violence, or a toll-free number, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720, or you can hit me up on the text, 496. I want to touch this man, Kendra. I like these because I with the little time that I have here on this side of eternity, I want to be able to incrementally help, to know that I contributed, even with a conversation to say that this is the course and path that we should take as a society. I think it's, I don't call it courageous. I just feel compelled to do it. I don't think it's courage. I just can't sleep. I just all it is. It keep bothering me. That's why I got to do it. I got to do it.
Yeah.
Right? But I want to know that I'm helping. I want to know that, and I get emotional about it. My wife don't understand. Sometimes, but then sometimes she see my consistency and how the thing keeps me up, mm-hmm. that I can't sleep. I'm writing stuff. I'm trying to do stuff and trying to figure out how we can help. I came up with these things. I take my money. I invest in these things, an idea to kind of move forward in these things, right? When you start to talk about young men and the tribulations that they go through, I just believe that we can do more as a society. Mm-hmm. I really do. I believe that we have a responsibility to be able to identify these things. I'm not saying to you every man should just take a young man into their homes. There needs to be an avenue and a way, even from our educational systems with curriculums, to be able to identify and find a way to make it easier for these kids to talk.
Find a way to make it easier for these kids to open up. Find a way to make it easier for there to be vulnerable and need it.
See, the thing
because
about,
it doesn't exist. Go ahead.
The thing about it is that it really requires a lot of work and commitment. And unfortunately, what I've found is that there are a lot of people who initially start off, and everybody is all,
It is a lot of work, because if you got one spoon and trying to dig a hole, that's a difficulty. But if it's thousands of us
who are doing
with one
it,
spoon
people are prepared
and
to
being able to do it,
to the work,
you can get it done.
But what happens is, I think some people underestimate of what it requires. And I remember with one particular program, that it started off and all these men were there and they were like, yeah, let's do this. One by one, those men faded away. And who remain? The women. The women remain along with the lead man who was overseeing the program.
You ever asked them? You ever had like an exit poll? You ever had an exit poll for these men who left?
No.
That you got to do that. You know why? Because you'd find that they left because of a woman. Child, you over there spending all this time with your children, you need to come over here and do... This is just what it is.
But I think that can be a part of it, but I also think a part of it was that what it was requiring of them...
The vulnerability.
They weren't prepared to fully commit to and what it requires in order to bring the change.
Wow.
Because you literally have to someone else's child. You have to fill that void in some way. And so it means them calling you when there's a need or a crisis. Or it means you going to the school and not their actual parents sometimes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's bananas, because I've seen that also, even in occupation, as I hire young men, right? I did my best to kind of hire a few persons who were incarcerated here locally at one point. And I recognize in one sense or another that I had to become a father. In terms of how I treated them, in terms of, and I said, I'm doing this to my son. This is how I speak to my son. Why would I speak to a grown man like this? And I keep trying to explain to them, you are a grown man, sir. This is not how you act. And their expectation was to be told, as opposed to being able to think for themselves. Let me take a telephone call. The lines are open, guys. Call you on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. No, I can see the caller, but I can't hear him. Caller, call back for me, please, and then we can be able to take you right here in the studio to be able to get that 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or hit me up on the text 242-422-96. You can be able to call. You can give me a call back and talk about these things. But Kenja, I just want to be like this, man. I don't know whether or not we're prepared to be able to deal with this. We become so inundated with the idea of being able to hit the rhythm of the day, to hit the normal the normal octaves of occupation in our society, that we don't think about, nor do we care for anything outside of that realm. It's the majority of the conversations. Let me make some money.
And so what happens is, it, you know, it's not necessarily holding other people responsible or accountable for someone else's life per se, but it's saying that if we're going to build a better community and a safer community, it's going to require all of us who are in the community to reach out and to help and not just think of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. There's a caller right there. Let's check the caller. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead. Caller? I can see the caller, but I can't hear him. Is the volume up? Second time caller. Forgive us about this. I don't know whether there's a glitch. Within the system. You're coming through. Okay, you tried another number. 325-4316. I'm going to let you write it. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Mr. Howard Grant.
Hey, my brother. What's happening? I got you.
Yeah, and good afternoon to your guest.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Yeah, right. I'd like for your guest to comment, because, you know, I've been down the psychiatry rabbit hole and looking at how they organize the diagnostic diagnostic and statistical manual and how they vote to declare something a disease, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at my age, I would notice they were always adding diseases to the diagnostic and statistical manual. So I don't know what all we have data here on, but I've read a book. I think it's Juan McCarthy, the uncle, had written a book named Neurosis in the Sun. Mm-hmm. And it had mentioned about alcohol-induced psychosis, drug-induced psychosis. And I would have just liked to hear some data on those. Those are pathways for psychological problems also. But I go by experience. I had a friend, I was a couple of years older than him, but he actually, he went crazy, right? He was out of his mind, but come to find out, he had a tumor in his brains. Mm-hmm. That was actually the physical thing that was causing it, but I don't know if he had electroshock therapy. You know, when you go to silence, people always say, well, they shock him and all of that. And so they know that this electroshock therapy caused irreversible brain damage. They know that from back in the early days of psychiatry, when they would do lobotomies, submerge people in cold water. They had all type of different absurd ways in the early days. So psychiatry mm-hmm. has been feeling it straight through, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what the doctors over here do, but just like to clear this up, because, you know, I was confounded by this, because everything is obfuscation. And the fact that she disclosed she was talking about natural remedies for a certain period of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the medical field is very limited as when it comes to the natural sciences. You know, you have some innovations now where you have nutritionists and dietitians and all these different things,
mm-hmm.
new information and new studies, right? But when it comes to depression, and it says that there's no evidence to support that this chemical called serotonin, right, which is in the brain, I mean, is the hormone. So there's no evidence that this lack of this causes depression, but there is a link between the low levels of norepinephrine and the attention deficit hyper disorder, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I look at these things, like some things they have dubbed as mental illness. I don't consider them to be mental illness. Some of these, like anxiety, these things are natural. You probably smoke a joint, go and exercise. You can get rid of some of these conditions naturally. But the question is, I would just like for the comment on my friend who had this tumor. And he had killed a guy like years ago, but he came out of jail, but sometimes he would have a sense and then sometimes he wouldn't. You know what I mean? He eventually died. He died about last year, he died, right? And so I say that because I was coming from the store the other night, and there was a guy was walking in the road, like it's a young guy, you know, he looked like 30-something, and he's just having these conversations to himself, and it's like around 11 in the night, and he's just stopping and talking, and he's in the road. He doesn't seem to realize that he's in the road. And nobody is. I'm looking at the lack of intervention with these type of people. Like how who all is in danger with these type of people moving around in our society? Like nobody seems to care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'd just like to comment on that. You know, because it's really frightening to know that there's a proliferation. There's so much. This is happening more and more often. Then
it is.
And so there has to be some remedy or some intervention versus just saying somebody's crazy. Somebody's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like ADHD and attention deficit disorder and all of the other rest, where they are to the diagnostic and statistical manual, right? I'm looking at how feasible is this link to chemical imbalance? And maybe the ADHD, right? But to me, what kind of evidence do they have on this? Because I mean, mental illness to me is not really a disease, and I just explained it to show you the diverse, how multifaceted it is. Can't just compile it into one compartment.
No.
They're learning, you know, and this is what they hate to admit. And nobody knows it all. I just hang up and listen.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate your telephone call.
Okay, so there were a few pointers that he made in that. So I'll go to the one we talked about, the tumor situation. So in the medical arena, they do know that there are different things that affect the brain that can present certain symptoms that sometimes of what we in, you know, layman's terms in natural society, and how would you remember how you were saying earlier, you know, they wouldn't use the word dwarf no more, but they say little people. Well, the word crazy is not used anymore.
Until like, rowdy.
Yeah. So just, you know, want to put that out there. So, but, you know, it's what we commonly use when we speak about these issues. And so there are different things that does affect affects the brain, because someone can even have an accident where they damage a part of their brain and they could start displaying erratic symptoms and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And then even as I mentioned earlier, even in terms of seizures, if someone went through something, they could then later on present in terms of with seizures. So you do have that. I do agree in terms of that. Just with any field of medicine, there is trial and error. And like I said, there are some aspects that I cannot speak to because a doctor would have to speak to some aspects of those other things. And I have listened. I've done some research in terms of there's one doctor whose book I just read. The book right now escapes me. But he was diagnosed with, in his own life as a doctor, with some mental health issues. And he did research himself and came to find out that there was a direct relation to what he was eating that was contributing to the behaviors that he was displaying and the mental issues that he was...
Can I say this? Okay. I want to say this. Mm-hmm. Just as a little bloop. Mm-hmm. I recognize every time I ate pork, I had a bad dream. Mm. Every single time. Every single time I ate pork chop or whatever, bacon or whatever, I had a bad dream. Mm-hmm. Right? Especially if I, you know, let it sleep on my... Right?
Yeah.
And it, because you go through trial and error in your own life.
Yes. Yes.
And you say, well, why is this hurting today? Yes. What did I eat? What yes. did I did? Why did this happen today?
Yes.
It didn't happen last week, Thursday. It didn't yes. happen every night. And so I deduced it by saying, okay, stop eating. And I stopped eating pork.
Yes. And that's what he did. And he, when he went to the doctor, and he said they wanted to put him on medication. And I think the where he went, they didn't realize that he was a doctor at the time. And he said, what I knew back then, if I started taking, and this is what this doctor is saying, and I'm hoping I could find the name of the book. He said, I knew that the damage it would cause me if I started taking the medication at the time that they were wanted me to begin and for the length of time it would have on me. And so he started to research different ways and methods. And he found a link between the food that he was eating and the effect that it was actually having on his brain.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so he's done research on it. He's released a book on it where he's talking about that. And he's like really promoting this more health conscious way of living and finding strategies as opposed to diagnosing people with certain things, like looking at some of the root causes that could be contributing to it.
Yeah.
And so just like the gentleman was saying, there are things that can be contributing to things, but it presents similar symptoms. And this is where doctors would come in and they would analyze and so forth in order to try, you know, find the best remedy to it as best as they could.
Let me take a next telephone call. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon, Howard. Good afternoon to you again.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm okay. To your guest, I would like to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's something called bipolar disorder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Someone told me this morning they met this guy, right? And isn't he really crazy? And they say he has quad polar condition. That's true? Quad polar?
I've never heard of that one, actually.
And they keep on switching, and walk across the street, walk back,
Yeah, so I've never actually heard of that one. I would like the previous caller had stated, and there are some doctors who are out there who of the mental health diagnosis that are being issued now is not accurate in terms of what they're issuing. And again, these are all everybody coming with their theory on things. They're doing their research. They're presenting it. But as I said, when it comes to those aspects, a doctor would have to actually diagnose that aspect. And so I don't want to go in that because then I'm not qualified in that arena. Right. But there are doctors who are out there because I've been doing research on it, who are of the belief that a lot of what is being diagnosed is not mental health. It's things that are being made up as a money scheme and stuff like that. And that's, you know, so for all intents and purposes.
Like eating disorder, is that a mental health thing?
It is listed under it. It is.
But you could put the phone down. I mean, you could talk to me.
It is listed under it, right? But I don't want us to sort of deviate into... that arena of it, because I don't want people to sort of lose the essence of what I really would like them to walk away with, which is for all of us as a people, irregardless of who you are, just to be able to take better care of your mental health.
Thank you so much, caller. I appreciate you.
Can I ask you one question?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Have you noticed recently, almost every day you go in NASA, there's someone on the side of the street walking up and down crazy,
Yes, and I was mentioning, I was letting Howard know this. We actually discussed this on the trainings down at SRC.
Call him, let you go. I can let you go, call him. Okay. Go ahead.
When I was doing one of my trainings at SRC, the Colombo training, and so one of the presenters was actually speaking on this whole concept of lace, someone's joint being laced. And, you know, when they say they put the lizard tail in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, what they were saying was that what we are calling being laced, apart from like if someone putting cocaine in someone's joint and that triggering.
Oh, they used to call it angel. There's a particular drug, angel dust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Triggered. But the whole concept of lizard tail, what they were saying is that sometimes the THC count, which is different in different strains of marijuana, can affect someone's brain differently. And so someone could have been smoking marijuana and it didn't affect them before, but they smoke a joint that had just a different component of the THC in it, and then it affected their brain differently and it caused them to result in symptoms that we view as being, you know,
abnormal.
Yes, abnormal. Yes.
You don't want to say crazy.
Yeah, I won't say, but I don't want to say because I'm supposed to know better.
Okay,
yes. Right? And so that is something that is out there in terms of what is being presented in the training now. And but I think that what we're seeing also in terms of particularly when we see the young men, because it's an increasing number of young men that we're seeing presenting with it. And it just, I believe that there is a myriad of issues that are going on that are not being addressed. And one of those things being, we have to look at the family dynamic and the fact that I feel like back in the day, there was just a greater effort of community effort in people helping people and getting them to where they need to get to and helping them stay healthy or take their meds or whatever the case may be. We have to look at the fatherlessness issue in our country and the rejection that comes with that and how that is impacting our young men. We have to look at the drug issue and really speak to that in terms of, you know, people recognizing that your joint could be laced or you could be getting a different strain that could affect you differently. So I just think that there are different things that you have to look at that is contributing to the increased number of young men that we're seeing on the streets.
Mm-hmm. There's a text that came through saying, Howard, let's make sure that we're careful, that we're not discouraging people with mental illnesses to just self-diagnose with vitamins, or I think this you mean self-medicate? Mm-hmm. Or self-diagnosis says, with vitamins instead of seeing or seeking a trained medical professional for their condition. Yeah. I think it's very important. And I don't know whether or not these persons who find themselves engulfed in a medical issue, a mental issue rather, will actually say, okay, I got to go and see the doctor. I think we as family and friends and parents and so forth and so on, guardians, need to identify the indifference in these particular actions and make a determination as to whether or not we should get these particular things checked out. You know, because I have a cousin who, you know, for lack of a better term, has been very, he's presented mental challenges. I've grown up with him like this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we always had him participate. I've grown up with him a little different than us, right? Even in his speech and the way that he, you know, he went to the Beacon School in Grand Bahama, you know, the Beacon School, mm-hmm. right? And he was a part of us, mm-hmm. right? But as he grew, the issue that he had became worse and mm-hmm. worse and worse and very debilitating. So it's very important that we have loved ones and family members who can be able to seek medical help and professional help to ensure that their child is taken care of in these areas.
Yes, and I definitely want to say that. For me, the advice that I'm giving today and the awareness that I'm really seeking to bring is for people to really recognize that, one, we all need to do a better job of taking care of our mental health. Two, that we need to be more compassionate and tolerant with those who are presenting with some kind of mental health challenge. And then some tips and tools that we can use in terms of to help us navigate it better. And I think that to talk about it, that for someone to think that, okay, you know what? I am having suicidal thoughts. I do feel depressed and down, and I don't know, you know, what it is that I'm doing and so forth. And you know, one of the callers mentioned something when they talk about anxiety being a natural thing and depression and they're listing these things. But there is an aspect of depression that is, you know, like there's layers to things. So you could feel depressed for a moment, maybe because you didn't get the job you went after, or, you know, a relationship ended. And then there are layers of depression that are so dark that you're talking about people who don't know how to get up out of bed in the morning. Mm-hmm. People who struggle to just go and take a bath because that's how heavy this thing is weighing on them. And so I think that it's important to recognize is that we all take an introspective look in terms of where we may be and where we're at, and then also recognize when we need to seek that professional help, because the help is there. CACC on Collins Avenue, that's a place where persons are able to go in terms of to seek help. And of course, for persons, if you are struggling in any way with depression and suicidal thoughts, and you're feeling like it's getting to the point where you are overwhelmed and you're thinking like you really want to take your life, you've already planned exit plan. And you know, you already have your ways mapped out. You need to seek help because you don't want to have a permanent decision to a temporary problem that you may be experiencing.
So tell me about the CACC on Collins Avenue. Where else? Yes. Do you have a number for these particular persons?
So CACC, that's the Community Assessment and Counseling Center. So that comes under Sandlands Rehabilitation Center. It's on Collins Avenue. So if you were to come onto Collins Avenue from Shirley Street, you pass Doctor's Hospital, it's going to be on the right-hand side. It's a yellow and white building, and it's probably like maybe the fourth or fifth building on the right-hand side. I don't have a number right now, but CACC. Community Assessment and Counseling Center, Collins Avenue, CACC, and that comes under Sandlands Rehabilitation Center. You're able to go there to get help.
Any other places?
And then, of course, there are private places and facilities that you're able to go. I know of Emmanuel, and that's Dr. Sean Knowles. They do really great work out there, and they're located off Mackey Street. Emmanuel Wellness Center. If you're in the Western area, Family Health Center, something like that, Family Health Center or Family Medical Center. They have some great psychologists and stuff down there and psychiatrists down there as well. And I'm sure all of them, this isn't in any way to differentiate between any of the wonderful other doctors and stuff who are there, but just to give people just some ideas that there are mental health facilities, whether you have to go public or whether you have the means to go private, but you are able to seek help and you're able to find the help that you need.
Okay. Guys, we're going to take this commercial break and be back. I see your telephone calls there and I see your texts. We'll take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
At Marco's Pizza, we never skip on quality or ingredients. Save some cash and satisfy your cravings with our new carry-out medium two-topping pizza for only $12.50. That's right. Order two of your favorite toppings like sausage and green peppers on one medium pizza for only $12.50. Fat inclusive. On our app or online. Made daily with fresh dough, our signature sauce, and fresh cheese. Only at Marco's Pizza. Restrictions apply.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app functionality, the choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Almost there.
Sarge, that's you.
Well, who else?
Tell the truth. I thought a beige walrus was dying on the sidewalk.
I'm preparing for my 4x100-meter debut.
More like 1x1, because the other 99 killing you.
Funny, the Bahamas games come in July 7th to July 15th, and Grandbahama gotta win this.
Well, you know that.
Email info at thebahamasgames.org or call 322-1029 for more information.
Which island is gonna win?
My Gateway is the centralized, safe, secure way to access and pay for government services online. Go to mygateway.gov.bs and log in to request a police character certificate, renew your passport or driver's license, and more. Receive emails confirming requests and alerts when documents are ready. You must have a valid government-issued ID in order to collect documents. MyGateway is fast, easy, and convenient. Go to mygateway.gov.bs and register today.
Foundation.
foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant, The Foundation, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon in the studio with Kendra Bowe, wrapping it up, a conversation that we're having with mental health, about mental health awareness. And Kendra, I want you to kind of wrap it up and bring it home for a lot of persons who are out there who've been listening, who are struggling with this sort of an idea or even diagnosis or you know, where do I approach this? How do I do this to go and find out my position?
Yeah.
Talk to them about
that. Yes. Yeah. So what I would like to say in wrapping up is, you know, there are various issues in terms of that people face in life that may impact us. And mental health issues, challenges or crisis, it's not something that's just for the poor. It's not just something that happens to someone who, you know, we look as on the outskirts of society. If we remember even the former Miss Universe who committed suicide, and when her mom did an interview, she talked about how her daughter had struggled with suicide, with some mental health challenges. And so here, this young lady was a lawyer. She was beautiful. She was athletic. She was Miss USA. And yet, with all of those accolades, awards, recognition, she still was challenged mentally to the point of taking her life. So I don't want anyone to take lightly when you find yourself challenged in your mind with thoughts of suicide and wanting to end your life. And you need to know when to seek help and ways to seek help in terms of that. The other thing that I would like to point out is in terms of for persons who are suffering loss. You know, we went through Hurricane Dorian and people would have lost everything that they had. And some people, like, it would have just hit them to the point like you don't know what to do because everything you had, everything you knew is gone and you got to rebuild. And whenever you find yourself in those positions where you've faced extreme loss and you got to rebuild, one of the greatest ways to attack anything is you have to build your mind with positivity. People look at it and they think, oh, the mumbo jumbo XYZ. But no, a positive mind is going to help you look at things in a way that helps the brain to move forward. And so what happens in one of the things that tends to cause some mental health crisis or challenges is we get stuck in it. We get depressed. We get weighed down. We don't know what to do. Or we feel like, you know, we've lost it all. There's no hope. And you never want to give up on hope. And so when you feed your mind positivity, it keeps hope alive. And so this is where faith comes by hearing by the word of God. This is where you are able to tie your faith into your process of healing and rebounding, and then you're able to keep moving forward and to find new ways. You know, one of the old adages that we used to say, where there is a will, there is a way. Mm-hmm. And this is where some of those old adages come in, because it helps the mind to move forward. So instead of you sitting and thinking, oh my God, I lost everything, what do I do? You're like, no, where there's a will, there's a way. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You find those things positive that's going to help you to move forward. Forgiveness. We underestimate the power of it. But when you have gone through some form of trauma, whether it's a sexual assault, whether it's abuse of any kind, whether it's parents who abandon you, whatever it may be, forgiveness, we hear it. It sounds cliche that forgiveness is not for you, it's for the other person and all of it. But what forgiveness does is it's like it cleanses the soul. It allows you to release those toxic emotions, to let it go so that you can move forward and you don't get stuck in it. And so I want you to remember that thing that I talked about earlier by Caroline Leaf in the book Who Switched Off My Brain. And she talked about how emotions that we hold on to affect the brain in a negative light. So you have to find ways to release it. I want to remind you about talk therapy. If you have the means and you have the ability and you find a therapist that you could talk to, particularly if you want confidentiality in terms of something that you are experiencing and going through. But if you don't have a therapist, having a good friend, having a family member who you could confide in, someone you could talk through whatever you've gone through without the shame, without the ridicule, without the judgment, that's important. And this is a shout out to youth groups and youth leaders. Create safe spaces for your young people to be able to talk about things that they have gone through and experienced, because that's going to be important to helping them transition and move forward.
That's excellent, man. A lot of the things that you talk about, more specifically as it relates to forgiveness and even the talk therapy, those strategic points, and especially the examples that you've given, they're hard, man. They're not easy. They're not easy.
you know, being abandoned by parents.
Yes.
That's heavy.
And that's why it's a process, Howard. But the thing is, people recognizing, you know, when you go to AA, one of the things they do with AA that they have persons too is you have to first acknowledge you have a problem. And oftentimes what people don't like
this
to do.
This is 12 steps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's acknowledge we have a problem. Mm-hmm. So you got to be able to acknowledge, no, I have a problem. You know, I don't trust people. I don't like people. I was abandoned. So I have abandonment issues. You have to acknowledge when there is a problem. You know what? I was, I you know, had
people
a failed
chalk it up
relationship.
They mm-hmm. say things like, no, love ain't for me.
Yeah.
So, I've fallen in love.
And you know, people can do that as long as they're still processing what they've gone through in a positive way. Because you can choose to not enter another relationship. That's perfectly fine. You can do that. But the thing is, what happens is that when people don't address the underlying issues, pains, and wounds that they've experienced in a relationship, in a marriage, a family, whatever it may be, and those things linger and they begin to fester. And so when people start to see behavior, like sometimes there are some people like, I don't know why, but I just feeling so weighed down and heavy and depressed, and they're trying to figure what happened, what's going on. But if they were to declutter their mind and track back, they'll find that there was something that occurred that actually triggered those symptoms that led up to a particular thing. And so this is why it's important to take that introspective look and also to forgive, because you could be holding people in and it could be causing you to enter a state of clinical depression or because you are failing to forgive someone to let it go so you can move forward with your life.
I see this caller was holding for some time. Let me see if I can take the call. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead. You left?
I had to call back to verify.
Okay, go ahead, my brother.
Your guest said, and she's very brilliant. And thank her for expounding on the depression and the anxiety. But what I wanted to verify what she's saying, just to warn young people, because something she said is very, very important. That she mightn't realize it because I know she knows she never smoked weed. But something happened when I was like a big 19, 20, 21, working in the council of the Paradise Island. And I want to share this because I was actually, I ended up being a hero. Somebody get off, you know, we would pool cars, so we would light up a joint and we would come over the bridge. And so a friend of mine, he worked in the butcher shop, and he caught a ride with us, because sometimes he did. And he was, like, always seeing us smoking and stuff after work. But, you know, of course, we were all rookies, because back then, I used to pass in the joint. So, I mean, I still was a young buck, pressing my luck. But what happened was, he said, man, you all let me hit this. And he passed him the joint, not knowing what the side effects was. If he hit the joint, he only take, like, 3 pull or 4 pull. And before we reached the top of the bridge, all of a sudden, he opened the car door and run and jump on the railing and put 1 foot over and 1 foot there, and he ready to jump over. And we had to run out and grab him. So what this doctor is saying is actually true. You, especially for the first time, people have to be careful. Listen, they dismiss, and especially with marijuana being so growing more potently, people have to be aware. When they did the same narrative with Desario Major, he might have had a peculiar reaction, right? And so this, and so what she said is really, 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 really important. Like, I hope people had actually taken that in, because if we didn't hold him, he would have jumped. So to me, that was a temporary psychosis just from smoking weed. So people can't dismiss marijuana as not being what she said, because it can affect people differently. I just thought I would share that.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate that. And it goes right back to what we're saying. We have don't self-medicate if you're in these particular states. If you feel compelled to move, and I think that there's a lot of self-medication going on in our society. Yeah. I think a lot of persons are strapped by one form of depression or another. Mm-hmm. And I think the majority of the thing is economic depression. A lot of persons find themselves economically strapped and looking for an alleviant, right?
Yes.
But we need to kind of talk about this.
Yeah.
I think we need to have better friends. Decent friends, right?
Yeah.
Who ain't gonna talk your business?
Because
everybody don't need to know Howard broke, Kendra broke. Everybody don't need to know. Because if we're gonna be absolutely honest here, you broke too.
Yes.
Stop it. Stop it. You broke too. We broke together. So let's just talk about it.
But you know what? I think people also have to do is people have to get to the place also to lose the shame. And what happened is that we can be so prideful that we know we go into.
Sometimes that's the only thing we have to hold on, you know.
See,
bigger than us.
I know, but see, there are two aspects of it. That's why I love the movie Good Deeds that Tyler Perry did, because I think that was brilliant. And that's another way too, in terms of therapy. If people didn't know it, you can actually do movie therapy.
Oh yeah, but me and my wife is doing movie therapy all the time. But she's got deep though, because she's watching the movie and she's like, "If you think you ever," I said, "Listen, baby, just watch the movie."
Yes, but you actually, you can find a movie that speaks to something you're experiencing and the way that the character expresses themselves or deals with the issue or cries, it can really become cathartic and it allows you that you're going through just through a movie. And so that's another great way as well.
Kendra, I want to thank you so much for being able to join us today. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you want to talk about these things. There's some great stuff in the papers that we did not have an opportunity to get to today because of a pre-structured and kind of pre-arranged program. But I want to talk more specifically about the Paradise Group seeking to ban Wendy's and Marco's. Wendy's is also a show. Atos is a show as a sponsor of the show here. And I'd love to know whether or not they want to come on tomorrow for Small Business Thursday to talk about these things. If you do, please, guys, I'm going to try to reach out to you guys. 827-0111. Let's talk about this because it's wild out there. If you haven't heard about Shake Shack, go check that out. It seems as though Shake Shack shares many of the core values, including leading hospitality. Guys, check it out. They sent me some information and I'm reading on it. Shake Shack is in the Bahamas and getting prepared to roll out over Atlantis. So check that out. We're going to dive deeper into the conversation tomorrow and find out just what's happening. It seems as though that there is a pushback from everything as it relates to external businesses coming into the space of Paradise Island. This is wild. I want to thank my guests for being able to be here today. Thank you for your participation, your telephone calls. Thank you for being a part today and really being able to do it. Tomorrow is Small Business Thursday. And if you want to be a part of that, please give me a call. 827-0111. 827-0111. We can set that up for you. And before I get out of here again, June 5th to the 9th, we're going to be in Grand Bahama. If you want to be able to do that and kind of get your stuff out there, give me a call, 827-0111. Let's do this in advance so we can have a great time. I thank you again for this great opportunity to be able to have a good conversation with you guys. I'm going to see you tomorrow right here on The Foundation with Howard Grant. I want you guys to stick and stay for Shivago Lang with Z Live right after this. Guys, have a beautiful day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Godspeed.
The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.